Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN, WGN everywhere, which means the World Wide Web and the apps and all the rest of that. Okay. Mark McKinnon joins us from the circus. What a week to be following the presidential election of 2020. Let's just start with this. Do you believe that any kind of an impeachment thing is possible here, or is this just another false start by the Democrats?
Well, what I think is that I'm really glad that we timed it to come back during Infrastructure Week. who could have known that this would end up being Infrastructure Week? Here's what I think is going to happen. I think it's going to turn out just like Bill Clinton. I think the House will vote to impeach. They'll draft articles of impeachment, and they'll vote for it, and they'll it'll come out of the House, and it'll go over to the Senate. And the Senate, which requires 2/3 vote to vote right. for impeachment, that means you need 16 senators, Republicans.
Right.
And that's highly unlikely.
What could – all right, let me ask you, though. As a political operative for many years of your career, what do you think could make those people, Republicans, in the Senate – make a decision to go with this, especially if it turns out that all of our worst fears are realized here, that he was really trying to use his force and power and Ukrainian military money that was coming from the United States to there? If he used all of that to try to exert his will over the Ukrainian president to interfere in the 2020 election, I mean, that's about as bad as it can get for a president, isn't it?
Well, you'd think so, but, you know, having talked to a bunch of those senators and Congress, Republican members of Congress, I don't think that's the threshold for them. I mean, I think they say, you know, they're screaming no quid pro quo. Of course, you don't need a quid pro quo, and a lot of people would argue that a quid pro quo doesn't need to be explicit. In this case, right. The president just withheld funds for a week before they had the telephone conversation.
But we also don't see any of the other underlying details here. There will be a full transcript of this phone call. We might hear other things. We're only relying on impartial.
Yeah, and I think the thing that could move those senators is if, for example, there were some true obstruction of justice and some blatant obstruction of justice, like eliminating files or tampering with evidence. That I think would be a threshold breaker.
Right. Do you think?
And we already know that they move stuff to a different server, which is how much irony is there in that?
Yeah.
I think I've heard that story before, right?
Right. So as obviously politically, you last week on the circus, you guys were out following, as you do everything, you're following Democrats, as they're working their way through that the debate that they had and then through Trump going down to New Mexico, which was kind of an interesting choice for him. And it just seems like, you know, we are split 49-49, and you and I are in the 1%. So
exactly right. Yeah.
I don't know where this thing all ends up. But it certainly seems as though, as you watch Fox News and you listen to Republicans and you listen to people who have been partisan to the president already, they're like, what is there to see here? So what? Everybody does it. That's the explanation. Everybody does it. The economy is good. What do we need this guy for? And let me play something for you. There's a wise sage I saw on television last Sunday night say these words.
Here's what they're going to be saying. They want to take away your guns. They want to take away your private health insurance. They want to take away your border security and give away $1,000 to every taxpayer with your money.
Here, please take this stick and beat me with it.
Yeah.
All of those
I could run a campaign on that.
Yes, you could run a campaign on that.
You have run a campaign, but here's another thing that's happened.
So there's that genius, Mark McKinnon, saying that all the Republican leadership has to say to the Republican voting base and to America, there's those words, that they're going to take everything away and this is going to be a mess and the economy is going to go in the toilet. And I think there's, despite all the rest of the behavioral issues with the president, that's probably a winning message.
Yeah, I mean, it's not hard to figure out what that playbook's going to be, and the Democrats keep handing them ammunition. You know, now Democrats have said out loud what Republicans have been saying. They've been secretly planning all along, which was taking away everyone's guns, and that they're going to, reduce border security, but give immigrants free health care that come across the border. And give away $1,000 a month to every taxpayer and give away free college and free everything. So, yeah, it's pretty simple. And so their message is, listen, we got a guy who's you know, doesn't always play by the rules, does things a little differently, but he gets stuff done, and he gets stuff done that you want done. And, you know, we let these socialist Democrats take over. It's going to ruin the economy, and you're going to be living in a socialist society. So it's going to get ugly, and it's going to get ugly fast. So we'll have that, and we'll have impeachment going on, and it's just going to be hysterical on both sides. And I think what's going to happen, Rose, that it's going to energize both sides to a point where we're going to see, you know, the highest turnout we've ever seen on either side in any presidential election ever.
Well, at least that's good news, right? I mean, that's people are going to be engaged.
People are interested and they're engaged. That's a good thing.
Sure. All right. So let's talk about Biden. Does Biden get banged up here because of this as much as anybody else?
I have two instincts about that. One is that this has raised a story that we've all known about for a long time and we assumed was going to surface at some point. And now it has, of course. And nobody's suggesting, well, that there probably are people suggesting that there's something illegal that happened. But from all we know about this story of Hunter Biden is that he went to work for a Ukrainian oil company on their board, and he had no Russian background, no background in energy experience. So it was quite obviously that he got that job because his father was vice president. No question about that. And that may not be illegal, but it's sure skeezy. You know, I mean, it's just old school politics and it's the swampy stuff that people come to hate about Washington. So it's not good, you know, because it does just sort of it puts a target on Biden that so then the Democrats don't even need to say it now because Trump is out of the story to just say that he does things the old way and we're trying to do things a new way. And it's time for a new generation. And by the way, we don't do that kind of stuff. You know, Elizabeth Warren has a big anti-corruption measure that she's doing that I don't know all the specifics of, but I suspect would probably outlaw that kind of activity. So she doesn't even have to say it out loud. It's sort of just implicit. So I think he gets tagged with that, and I think that's problematic because it just makes him seem more like old Washington when you have, you know, a lot of people thinking about sort of, you know, they want to elect new Democrats, you know, with new ideas and a new generation. So that doesn't help. My other instinct is that there may be a big sympathy reaction too, that people just say Jesus Christ, you know, they're going after his son and his, you know, his other son died and, you know, his other kids died in a car wreck and his wife died in a car wreck. How much does this guy have to go through? So there could be kind of a sympathy thing that rebounds to him too.
Well, it is also true that the president's kids, right, they're actively involved in business and in government simultaneously, and it would be a great irony for them to go after, but irony is not met here on both sides. The left sees it as ironic, the right sees it as, oh, you know, who cares? He's doing what I want him to do. Right. Or he's representing my anger or my, you know, my mistrust of government or whatever it is, you know, whatever they find. Yeah. He's a Rorschach test, I think, for a lot of people, half the country. Right. So you get whatever you want. Now, Biden, though, doesn't also seem all that well. Right. Bernie doesn't seem well. And if Bernie goes out and it's Biden and Elizabeth Warren, doesn't Bernie get don't the Bernie people move toward Warren?
Absolutely. 100% of them do. And they've already started. So, I just think that Warren has a ton of momentum and Bernie's slipping, Biden's slipping, and, you know, all those Bernie votes are going to her. Some of those Biden votes are going to her. So she's in a very good position right now. And, you know, she's got a great organization in Iowa. She's not only smart policy wise, she's been doing things very smart politically, good organization. So, I think she's the odds-on favorite right now.
Can she beat Donald Trump? Based on what we just played just a few minutes ago, when we played you laying out last week on the circus on Showtime, all of those things that they're going to say. What goes on there?
Well, I just tell my Republican friends and my Trump colleagues that beware of what you ask for, because they're all salivating to run against Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas. But here's the thing. One, she's just a really good candidate. She's a woman, which I think is a real advantage in the current environment. She's got a ton of ideas, a lot of which they don't like. But here's the thing, and here's the irony: her macro message and her macro narrative, and she's got a very tight, compelling narrative, by the way, which is part of why she's doing so well too. That Clinton never had. Her overarching message is the system is rigged, and you're getting screwed. That's exactly what Donald Trump's message was. It was for all these sort of grievance voters who feel like they've been screwed by the system. It's just that Donald Trump says it's immigrants and we need to build a wall. Elizabeth Warren saying it's greedy capitalists and we need to redistribute their wealth. It's just a different prescription and cause, but the macro sort of condition is the same. So that's going to appeal to a lot of, and by the way, there was somebody did some research in Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania and did it with a bunch of Trump voters and didn't say that they were Elizabeth Warren ideas and talked about, you know, eliminating college debt and, you know, free this and free that. And, you know, the hands were going up saying, oh, I'm for that. So, you know, you tell them it's Elizabeth Warren and they sort of go, oh, well, I'm not sure about that. But the point is that she's a populist. You know, she's a populist. And that's going to light up those Democratic voters. So there'll be heavy turnout. And I'd just say that there's going to be some voters out there who I think there'll be some Trump Warren voters who would just say, you know, he said he was going to change things for me and hadn't changed. And she recognizes that I'm getting screwed. And maybe there's a different way to solve it than what Donald Trump has been talking about.
Let's see. Where are you guys on the circus this week?
Well, we were in Washington all week, and we left last night because John and I are at a thing in Austin, Texas, but Alex is still there today to cover anything that might break today, but we already have like a four-hour show. Once again, we're trying to figure out what to cut.
I'll bet that's true. And I want to mention something also. Speaking of Austin, Texas, I saw that Joe Walsh is in Austin, Texas for whatever this this big event is going to be.
Yeah,
right. Uh-huh. This weekend. And you had Joe Walsh on, obviously well-known to the Chicago area here. He's running for president. He was the one-term congressman from the Northwest suburbs. He is not a beloved figure here, I don't think. And, you know, it's hard. I think you know this as well as anybody. It's hard to be a one-term congressman, right? I mean, you ran campaigns. Yeah. It's pretty tough to lose on your first go-around. So he said something, though, and this is the first time I want to play this. This is the first time that I've heard a conservative acknowledge this.
There is still a conservative media swamp.
Yeah.
Or at least on our side. I'd argue it's on the other side, too.
Yeah.
You know, you try to be as outrageous as you can and say things.
You're kind of admitting the notion that if either you're a racist, yeah, or you're not a racist, but you're willing to say racist things in order to get ratings.
I find that fascinating because it's pretty obvious to us in the business what goes on. I mean, there's people who have very pointed agendas, and we know that they're specifying certain demographics. Joe Walsh is basically coming out of that fever swamp and admitting that that's really what this was all about.
Yeah, it was remarkable, you know, just for him, somebody to actually say out loud what we know to be true. But this is the first time to hear somebody be that candid about it. So I was really struck by that, but I have to say, after I was watching that, I did sort of ask after we were putting the show together. I was like, wait a minute, he was a one-term congressman? How did that happen?
Right. Well, that's why.
That's why.
Yeah, right, I think it's self-explanatory there. But I mean, that's and the president still very much lives, you know, on the rules of that, sort of, you know, say outrageous things, get everybody's attention, say things that can be seen by racists as lining up with their own thoughts about sociology, and still have enough wiggle room to get out of it and go, well, that's not what I meant, right? I mean, it's like,
yeah, I love the line that somebody said. You know, somebody asked this person if the president was a racist. He said, I don't know if he's a racist, but racists think he's a racist.
Right. That's true. All right. This weekend, it's Sunday night. It'll be 18 hours long, but I think they're still saying you got to be 30 minutes. I don't know how you're going to do it.
It's going to be a Ken Burns documentary.
Mark McKinnon from The Circus. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
All right, Coach. Kick it hard.